Welcome to Soul Guided Living with Dr. Laurel Geis. Soul Guided Living is a lifestyle, empowering you to consciously listen, align, and act your way to living your soul's calling. Sharing practical tools and techniques, Laurel's expert guests are committed to helping you live your soul purpose with passion and prosperity. Your soul is calling. You are ready. And here's your host.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Guided Living. I'm your host, Dr. Laurel Geis, and our guest today is best-selling author and marriage mechanic, Shasta Townsend. And Shasta is going to share with us 7 secrets to deepen your connection and reignite passion in your relationship. Welcome, Shasta. It's so great to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be great. I love your intro. Soul purpose with passion and prosperity. Beautiful.
Passion and prosperity. And I have to say, I love your moniker of the marriage mechanic. I love that. what does being a marriage mechanic mean to you?
Well, you know, this is the thing, is that I feel like it's about giving people, when you go to a mechanic, yeah, they fix things for you, but a really good mechanic will actually sort of keep what you have running well and help you upgrade or improve, so to speak. So it's not about throwing everything out. It's about how can we work with what's there and really create a relationship, a marriage, a life that is, you know, rich and satisfying and running really, really well. So my role is, you know, I help men and women really identify areas that they want to shift or improve or, you know, maybe change altogether, so that really we're creating a vision around what they want versus what is not working so well.
So this approach, it sounds different from what I've heard of traditional, let's say the conventional approach to like marriage and relationship counseling. And so why is this approach and how is this approach different?
Well, I started, you know, and this is sort of an interesting introduction into this work, is that I speak about this very frankly with my clients and with my community, is that I started to move into this work because just a couple years ago, myself and my husband were not in such a great place in our marriage. We actually were considering separating, and we had tried out different marriage counseling routes, and it felt to me as though, and this is not to sound critical, but it felt to me as though we were not really learning how to shift our mindsets, and that we were really not digging into what was it we were being in our relationship with each other. And so with that realization, I started to really dive deep into that work myself, into self-development, into really neurophysics, and into spiritual teachings in order to apply that to what were the stories I was telling myself, what were the patterns I was in, what were the assumptions and projections I was making about myself, about my husband, and even about marriage. And I started to actually shift the way I showed up in our marriage. And that's not to say that I changed who I was as a person, but I started to let go, make whole in many ways a lot of the stories, as I said, and beliefs that I had about myself and about my partner. And an interesting thing happens is that we know that our reality is being created from our own self. And as I began to change my story about myself and my husband, my reality showed up very differently. Did my husband change? He actually did. And so by how I be, this is a big focus in the work that I do, you know, with women, is how you be and the story that you're telling and the patterns that you have bought into and you keep reiterating is exactly what we're going to keep getting in our life. So a big part of the work is revealing, releasing, and as I said, healing a lot of the projections and stories that we have, because there's no space really for a new story. Versus sort of traditional marriage counseling or conventional marriage counseling is, what can be really helpful about it is you often get specific tools, but in my experience, those tools are not that useful if the person using the tool really hasn't shifted. You know, if we're trying to, say, communicate better, but ultimately I'm just furious with you, it doesn't really matter what level of communication I'm trying to share until, you know, I'm standing in a place where I'm not, well, basically in fury. And so it's a different approach. And, you know, I am the first one to say that this absolutely saved my marriage, that not only am I in a marriage right now, but I'm actually extremely happy. We have a real depth of friendship, a great intimate relationship, and we're not the same people. We have very different values and views of things, and yet we have a very mutually supportive relationship. And the only reason that that's in place is because of how we sort of be and how we show up with each other and what we've dedicated ourselves to. And this is the other aspect that I often hear from women, or anyone really in relationship, is, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, my partner's not going to come along for the ride. And that I don't see as necessarily true in the women that I've been working with, is that, again, how we be influences everyone in our life. And when we as women particularly really step into that, what I call goddess nature, really aligning into our heart, into our vision, and in our own potential, you know, the partner in our life, the men in our life, will absolutely respond to that and show up. So it's far less work, actually. It's much less striving and forcing and trying to cajole somebody into going to, you know, marriage counseling with you, which 99% of them don't want to go anyway. So it's
been great. It's interesting because, you know, in listening to you and what you're sharing today, it sounds like it's like the next evolutionary step in, you know, relationship counseling. And I know that, you know, you said that, you know, you can create a great relationship by doing less. But how is this possible? Doing less.
How can you doing less? Because here's the thing, is that we live in a world where we believe that action is the only way to accomplish things. Now, we know this is not true. And we know from a, whatever you want to call it, a manifestation, creation, fifth dimension, whatever word works for you, if you're a pure scientific person, literally the quantum model is that nothing, or let's put it this way, the most efficient way to create what we want in our life is to actually align to the energy of what that manifestation already is. And yet many of us, and this has not happened, this is not a transition that I've seen happen in the world of love or relationships or marriage. I don't know anyone else that's really talking about this, is that we see a lot of coaching, a lot of information around, say, creating abundance or prosperity or entrepreneurial or business success by using universal laws and by really learning how to align ourselves as individuals to, again, whatever you want to call it, universal consciousness, the field, you know, source energy. And we know that when we do that, we work less and things literally manifest as we align to that energy. And yet, when we look at our relationship models or the way that we approach, in particular, you know, this sort of relationship improvement, is we are still looking at it as, what are the actions I have to do? And we're not necessarily saying, well, what's the energy that I want to align to in that? And so one of the very first things that I have my clients do, and this will help, you know, elucidate this point, is I ask them to get very, very clear on what their vision is for their marriage or their relationship. And I'll tell you, I think 99% of the people that I work with have never considered and this is, you know, no shame, but have never considered what is the vision that I would like to experience in my relationship. We often are coached on creating visions, as I said, in the business world or our career or financial world, but we aren't necessarily given the same guidance in our intimate life or our love life to say, what do you really want? What do you want to create in your life? And then I have my clients, then I say, okay, you know, they might say something like, I'd really like to have a deeper connection with my husband. I'd really like us to create maybe more abundance in our life. And I say, well, what is it that you have to be in order for that to literally manifest in your life? And so, for example, if I'm looking for more connection with my partner, I have to be open to connection. I have to be willing to be vulnerable. I have to be loving. I have to see, I have to see him as a loving person. And yet many of us are saying, well, I'd like deeper connection with my husband, but he's such a jerk face all the time. And he's so hard to be around. And, he did all these things to me 30 years ago. And it's not to say that, of course, in our partnerships, there are things that we need to examine and to talk about and to heal and to really to deal with. And yet then we have to have a willingness to do that, to step into what is what you really want. And
exactly.
Again, this
exactly.
comes back to how you be.
Exactly. And I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Soul Guided Living with Dr. Laurel Geis. And our guest today is Shasta Townsend. And after this short commercial break, we're going to come back and dive into the 7 secrets of creating a great relationship. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your soul's calling is the answer to someone else's prayer. Are you ready to be that answer? Dr. Laurel Geis is a spiritual author, speaker, and mentor dedicated to helping you live your soul's calling. Go to laurelgeis.com now and sign up for Laurel's newsletter. Let's get you going with classes, mentoring, and support to ignite your soul-guided life today.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
You're listening to Soul Guided Living with Dr. Laurel Geis, and today our guest is Shasta Townsend, best-selling author and the Marriage Mechanic. And we are going to talk about now the 7 secrets of creating a great relationship. So, Shasta, can you walk us through these 7 secrets?
Sure, my pleasure. So the first thing, as we were talking about before the break, is the very first step is to stand in what I call the power of yes. And this mm-hmm. is for everyone listening to really create a vision for what you want in your relationship and then align to it. Let yourself be in the place of absolutely saying yes, or if you're not saying yes, then absolutely saying no. But if you're staying in the relationship, deciding what you really want, creating a vision and aligning to it. The
okay.
second step, and this is a real big one, and this is one that we often have resistance to, so just own it. That resistance can come up for you, and it is the power of forgiveness, of really clearing and cleansing stories and past hurts that we have in our relationship. And if you're in relationship with anyone for any length of time, there are certainly betrayals, transgressions, and hurts that arise. But really learning to forgive and to let that go is absolutely essential. And in many of us, we keep sort of milking or nursing our wounds. And you'll see this often in couples. And I know because I've certainly been one of those couples where, you know, things that happened like 10 years ago get thrown up on the table. And again, we certainly need to address these things. It's not about just forgetting. It's about what is the work that I really need to do so that I can let this go and I can step into my vision of, you know, love and connection. And then the third step, and this one is so interesting. This can literally change your relationship in a day. And it is the practice of looking for what's good or beautiful in your partner, also known as appreciation. So It's interesting because I often see, you know, and many of us are guilty of this, first of all, not necessarily offering a level of appreciation, of gratitude, of thanks to our partner for what they, you know, bring to the table, for even being in a relationship, loving us, and the small things that they do for us day to day. Certainly something in my marriage with my husband, we go out of our way to, you know, to express gratitude and authentic appreciation for things. And then the second aspect of step number three is to really look for what's good about your partner. And this is actually one of the secrets also to creating good intimacy, by the way. It's really hard to feel turned on by somebody when you're just angry and seeing all their bad stuff. So it's a practice of cultivating the eyes to see. And it can be as simple as, I appreciate that he filled up my car. I appreciate that, you know, he does the work that he does. I appreciate that he poured me a coffee. And it's really looking for what's good, because many of us look at what's not going so well. And we stay focused on that, you know, as humans, as we keep telling the same old story about our partner.
Standing in the power of yes, so our vision and alignment, and then Two is the forgiveness, clearing our stories, and I love this, three, appreciation, looking for the good in the other. That's beautiful. And now number four?
And four is compassion and understanding. And, you know, it's interesting because compassion is a word we hear a lot in self-development and spiritual circles. And yet it can be a very misunderstood word. Compassion, in my mind, is really doing what is most meaningful or what serves the very highest for everyone involved. And sometimes as women, you know, we equate compassion. Well, men too, certainly. We equate compassion with the idea of sympathy or empathy or martyrdom. And that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about really discerning what is the most meaningful and appropriate thing to do. You know, I always tell my students, I tell them this story that a few years ago, my husband and I used to go for Sunday dinner almost every Sunday at his parents' house. And I really didn't always want to go. And I realized that, one, I wasn't being in integrity with myself by going, and two, that the compassionate thing to do for everybody was actually to speak with love. I'm willing to do X, but I'm not willing to do this anymore. This is not necessarily feeling good for me. So compassion is doing what's really, you know, really in the highest for everybody. And what's funny, of course, as soon as I said that, everyone else said, oh my God, I'm so glad you said something. We were getting tired of doing Sunday dinner all together too.
Oh goodness, us too, right? Us too. Yeah, right.
So funny.
It's interesting.
And
when
understanding. Sorry, go ahead, Laurel.
I was going to say, you know, I think you hit on a key point there, that when we can step into our authenticity, it really allows other people to do the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. And having the courage to do that. Absolutely.
Right.
And this, you know, that sort of the second aspect of this is finding understanding, which is a big part of compassion, certainly in the world and in our relationships, is we are often, again, this goes back to our stories. I'm making all kinds of stories up and all kinds of projections about what I perceive you are saying or doing or not doing. And to really inquire and ask, you know, what are they truly thinking? What's motivating this? What's really going on, so that I'm not being triggered all the time? Really having a deep level of understanding. I often share this story really quickly. A few years ago, you know, my husband and I, he always wanted me to sort of take care of my car better. And I'll be honest, I'm not a great car taker care of her. So, and I used to feel really angry. I'd be like, God, let it go. Yeah, okay, I need to get my car washed. What's the big deal? And, you know, through a process that we did, what I began to understand is that the car was a symbol to him of, you know, success and things we had created as a couple, and that it represented a fear, actually, because I am not as focused on material things, that we had very separate and different values. And so the car then became the focusing point for my husband, and I was seeing him as being like just this picky jerk and really not understanding. And it was very revealing to really, now I use that tool of really asking myself, what's this really about for this person? Where are they coming from? Because it's always about something else, as we know.
And understanding. I love that example of understanding. And our fifth success.
So the
factor?
Fifth one, of course, is empowered communication. And, you know, empowered communication, it means, again, speaking with love and integrity. But there's a few things that I often see, you know, in relationships that we fall into the habit that my partner should know how I feel, or my partner should know what I need. And this is what I see often in couples that are some of the biggest sort of stumbling blocks, is this expectation that, you know, you should know what I'm thinking or feeling, which really means that I don't have to speak to what I'm thinking or feeling. And that really is about, you know, something much, much deeper, of course, that I'm unwilling to sort of speak to those things. And then, I mean, empowered communication really includes so much. It's also the ability to speak to hurts, as I said, and betrayals, and to do it in a way that creates the space for more understanding and connection, not more shame and blame. So, you know, in the course and in the coaching that I do, I teach people very specific communication techniques of, you know, that how to speak to things. And then the other aspect of empowered communication, of course, is very skillful listening. And again, it's interesting because if you've been in relationship really with anybody, not just your partner, but even your friends or your colleagues, we start to sort of assume or project that people are coming from a very specific angle or a specific story, and we're actually not always truly listening to what they're saying. Part of the reason that people feel often so much disconnection is they don't actually ever feel heard. And so really learning how to be a great listener and to demonstrate, you know, what does that actually look like, and to even teach someone in your life how to listen well. So it's always,
yeah, exactly, right?
It's always powerful too.
Exactly. And we have two steps left, six and seven.
And six is, and anyone who practices meditation or yoga or mindfulness will resonate with this one. It really is what I call presence. And it's my willingness and the actual moment-to-moment practice of bringing my fullness to whomever I'm in relationship with, and certainly when I'm with my partner, is that, you know, certainly in the day and age that we're in with, technology and TVs and social media sort of everywhere, is it's very easy to tune out and to be distracted. And you see this, you know, when you see people going for dinner together and they're both on their phones. So presence is this real willingness to be like, you are the focus of my attention right now. And it's not just about putting the phone down. It's about putting the phone down and bringing your mind into that moment. And really, from that level of presence, then we create a deep connection because we're really truly there with each other and in that space.
And that's so powerful. And now our last secret.
Yeah, and the last secret is service, actually. And I put I added service because there's two aspects to it. One is, how do I want to be in service? Not from a domesticated standpoint, but literally, how can I uplift, support, enhance my own partner's life, and of course, them back to me? And then, and I always offer this to my clients, what do the two of you want to create together in service to the world? And if we believe that relationship, marriage, whatever word we want to call it, of these two people coming together can create something really powerful in the world, I mean, how amazing is that? That two awake, loving people are standing in this vision of service and giving back. I mean, it's something that I feel so grateful for every day.
I love that. Well, everyone, we have gone through the 7 secrets to having your best relationship. And I want to encourage everyone to connect with Shasta at her website, which is www.shastatownsend.com. And she's offering free breakthrough sessions to create a rich and satisfying relationship. So I encourage you to go to shastatownsend.com right now, and connect with her. And thank you, Shasta, for being with us today.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to share. It's important, and thank you for your work too, Laurel, and all you're doing.
Oh, thank you for being here. It's I love doing soul-guided living, and I want to thank all of our listeners too for being with us today. And I want to also say, hey, let's connect. Go to laurelgeist.com, and if you sign up today, you'll get a free soul journaling guide and a free 10-day soul journaling class, empowering you to live your soul-guided life. And have you liked me on Facebook yet? Well, go ahead and like me today and receive inspiration every day to live your soul's calling. So until next week, my friends, keep on living and loving your soul-guided life.
Thank you for listening to Soul Guided Living with your host, Dr. Laurel Geis. To start fully living your soul's calling today, go to laurelgeis.com, sign up for Laurel's newsletter, and let's get you going on living your best life ever. Join us again next week for more expert guidance and practical tools to ignite your soul-guided life.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your soul's calling is the answer to someone else's prayer. Are you ready to be that answer? Dr. Laurel Geis is a spiritual author, speaker, and mentor dedicated to helping you live your soul's calling. Go to laurelgeis.com now and sign up for Laurel's newsletter. Let's get you going with classes, mentoring, and support to ignite your soul-guided life today.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio, talk radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.